Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Rugby with Pads. I'm Sam, I'm your host, and week two. That was a thing, wasn't it? Lots has happened. We will get on to the waivers shortly because this is your early waivers preview of the week. We'll get into our top buys and people you'll be spending all your waiver priority or fab on. Let's just have a quick breather and think about the week that was. We're not quite over. We've got a couple of games tonight, I believe. Steelers playing and someone else. We don't care about that. All we care about is, do we need to rely upon them? Or have we done a bit of a boom and bust week? And it really was a boom and bust week. I mean, early games were crazy. I think you had some, I think for the first time ever I was listening to a Red Zone, they had all eight of the early games go into the Red Zone in the last 60 seconds of the first half. It's crazy. And there were some great games, two overtime games. Overtime I love. Normally, at least there's so many more points because they're going back and forth and back, but this time less so. And we'll get into that in a little bit because the teams who were in overtime that you really wanted, you were really rooting for, didn't quite succeed. But let's have a look at some fantasy headlines here. I think we'll start on the boom and bust train. Talk about Danny Dimes. He's so incredibly boom bust that he's even boom bust inside the same game. Now, so many of you will have started him last week and been incredibly disappointed and benched him this week and been incredibly disappointed. That's how he rolls. He had a very slow start. I think Cardinals went up stupid amount. I need to go back and watch the game film. This is the earliest you're going to see these waiver predictions because this is the one thing about being in England. We get to speak about this 5 to 8 hours ahead of the Americans. They're not even awake yet and we're recording a podcast. But Danny Dimes, incredibly boom bust, slow start, but what a finish, 30 plus points. He could be the rushing threat if Barkley misses time, I think is the thing to maybe be beholden, think about. But the same thing, if Barkley's missing time and he's sidelined, is Danny Dimes going to actually be any good? And you'd hope so because it doesn't feel like Waller has really lived up to billing yet. We'll have to see. It's still early days for that group. I think early doors, though, some of the favourite targets are surfacing for some players. And I'll start off with the obvious one, Puka Nacua, who I couldn't recommend highly enough last episode. I've only got one share of him, and that was in Dynasty, because I picked him up on the waiver wire before anyone knew anything about him. I'm a Rams fan, see from Donald's shirt over there. But I saw him, some of his film from college, and I thought, he is a big guy, and he's going to get open. And he got open a lot. Nearly 30 points this week. He won me in my dynasty matchup. But you're also seeing people like Mike Evans become the number one target for Baker Mayfield. I think a lot of people thought Chris Godwin might be that guy. T. Higgins is showing up. Jamar Chase at the moment. After T. Higgins got zero. So boom bust. I think he got nearly 30 points. Keenan Allen remaining, the favorite target of Justin Herbert, especially when Eckler's gone. Nico Collins becoming that guy over there. All of them having really mega days, and maybe some of them you wouldn't have expected to be the main target in that offense. But so some really, really interesting performances. And I think as well, the interesting performances came from the contradiction of real life results versus fantasy results. And I think the take home I've got is that losing QBs are often viable options. I think we all thought Danny Dimes was going to lose, but he became a viable option. But you could look to Josh Dobbs scoring like 28 points. Kirk Cousins having a great week. Russ losing, but having a great week for fantasy. And all of those guys scored more than Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, and probably number four, Justin Herbert, who was on the losing side. These are guys that you spent first, second, third, fourth round picks for. And they're being beaten by guys who are either went undrafted or went very late in drafts. It's crazy, the QB market at the moment. But, something that is crazy is how charges the Chargers can be. I spoke about it last week. And the Chargers lost out because they decided to kick a field goal and not run down the clock. Yeah, because Justin Herbert slid, and because the clock management wasn't quite where it should have been, they lost by 2 points. This week, they lose in overtime. They turn it over in overtime. It's just embarrassing. You know what? Even though they're losing, though, you want a part of their passing game because where you want a part of the top two passing game because no one really is coming at the number three. Quentin Johnson, I still think, is finding his feet. Josh Palmer is still there or thereabouts in the mix as well. But Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, you would have been very happy if you started them, especially if you stacked them with Justin Herbert, who went off this week and was really, really efficient, I thought. There were some funny throws and he did some weird things, but I think that's more on the play caller. I'll have to see. I think under Kellen Moore, though, we will see this high volume passing attack. But I do think they really miss Eckler. And, you know, I hate to prey on people's downfall, and especially Eckler, because I love him so much. But I did predict it. I didn't think he was going to have a good week. He was showing a bit of a niggling injury, and we saw Josh Kelly, and he didn't even play. So, you know, we were right, but for all the wrong reasons, unfortunately. I think also there's a couple of teams who are showing who their alpha is, and for various different reasons. It looks like Cam Akers is on the trade block again. The Rams just don't know what to do at running back. They drafted guys this year, last year, the year before. Zach Evans is still in the room, I think. I need to check that. But we all thought Kyron Williams was going to be backing up Cam Akers. Turns out Cam Akers is had a wobble again or something. We don't know what's happened. There's something going behind the scenes. I'm not going to speculate. You know, if he's had some problems, let him have some problems and leave him be. But it shows that Kyron Williams is the alpha, and he's scored for fantasy amazingly. Brian Robinson as well. He's up against Antonio Gibson. He's a year younger. I didn't think he was that talented in the passing game, but apparently I was wrong. He was the RB1 this week. Crazy. And he's outscored Antonio Gibson by a massive amount both weeks. And who needs a top running back? I mean, Zach Moss is going out and balling out. Why JT rides the pup. It's crazy, isn't it? I think we'll end our kind of summary of boom bust for it just is boom bust with some of these guys. And you look at some of the guys that you want to rely on week in, week out, a wide receiver, and you just can't. Tyler Lockett, rubbish first week, great this week. Gabe Davis, rubbish first week, great this week. Tank Dell, the same. Drake London, the same. DJ Moore, the same. And because of that, you're probably benching them. You know, there's more names out there, but it was an absolutely crazy week for fantasy. And you were lucky if you came out on the right side of things, because there were some very close games that I saw. I've been on the both ends of it. Let's just say that. But let's get into this week's waivers and see where we're sitting. Who should we be targeting? So this segment, we try and get it out as early as possible for you guys to listen to. And what we're doing is we're focusing on guys who aren't available in a majority of leagues. So they're 50% or more currently, because there's a lot of names out there you don't know yet. I think we'll see more in the 90s and 80s and what have you. But we're starting to see some patterns. So we did pretty well last week. We landed on Purdy. We landed on Jordan Love, Kyron Williams, Gus Edwards, and of course, Puka Nacua. Parham didn't show up this week. I didn't see him in any stats boards. I haven't gone searching for him. But tight end is still a bit of a, you know, it's a show that is not a good show. Let's put it that way. This week, we've learned a bit more. And my whole thing about my review show was around what do we know now? And I still think we don't know a huge amount, but we've come up with some names that I think will have solid weeks moving forwards. And hopefully they'll be dependable for at least a few weeks. So let's start with Desmond Ridder. Now, I was exchanging texts with a couple of people and over the night, and Desmond Ridder looked awful to start with. But somehow he came out and had a really good week. I think 29 points in some formats. He is still available in 97% of leagues. And I think although he didn't pass the eye test as much, especially early doors, he got a rushing TD. He was playing from behind. I think he managed to eke out a top 10 performance, probably even top 5. I think the worry there is consistency. It is a concern. But with the QB market the way it is, being very unpredictable, I think him having a soft schedule, including Detroit and the Texans, you want to be stocking up on the Falcons options in general. I think the only wish we could have for him is that he was a bit less error prone, a bit more consistent. And if he can make Kyle Pitts at all relevant, that'd be great. But he seems to love throwing to Jonnu Smith as well. I don't think he's been bad for Desmond Ridder either. So, no, sorry, for Bijan Robinson. I think that combination is quite nice. He is seeing him as an offload option, but you know what? I've just got to have a moment of appreciation, a Bijan minute, as the fancy footballers call it. I tuned into Red Zone and a couple of plays, and it just looked like Bijan Robinson could get 10 yards without breaking a sweat. They gave him the ball with nothing on. He was going into traffic. He juked one guy, span another guy, and just managed to get over the plane. How good is he? I want him in every team I've got, but unfortunately, I've only got him in twice. Anyway, let's keep the quarterback, and we're going to stick with someone who we talked about last week as well, Jordan Love. He was 85% available last week. This week, he is still 60% available. People aren't getting the message. Go get the message before you miss out. I think he's dropped in availability, but I think he still proves himself in a loss against the Falcons. And obviously, this is the competition that we had with Desmond Ridder and Jordan Love. He is still available in most leagues. So for the same reason you want to get him for Ridder, he plays a bit of spongy defenses in the upcoming weeks. And we've already talked about the fact that he gets to play NFC North of opposition, which are all spongy across the board. I mean, apart from maybe the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers are actually looking like a threat in that division, much to the annoyance of any Detroit Lions fans. There's still a bit of a TBC whether he can stand the test of time, and no one really knows who his number one is, which I think will inform the success of him moving forward. But he's passing to a bunch of no names as well, like Wilkes. I didn't even know he was on the roster, getting a touchdown. I think he's proven and solid, even without Aaron Jones as an option, who I was so annoyed with. I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story. There's a lovely app. It sounds weird. There's an app that we've been following for a little while, Fantasy Game Day app. Go and have a look at them. This isn't sponsored or anything, by the way. I just started playing on their app, and they were really nice to reach out to me, and they had a chat. So you might hear from them on the pod another time. But it's a daily fantasy app specifically for people in the UK. It's really fair. It's low value to get in. I think £7.50, and it pays out the top like 25% of players. And I just missed out. I'm so annoyed with myself. I just missed out on a payout on that, and it wouldn't have been huge. It's not huge stakes here. We're talking about like I would have made like £19 on a £7.50, so you know, tweet £12 up. But it's something different to play, and I'm trying to experiment with different formats here. And it's a really really nice app as well. Really fair prices for the players. So yeah, go and have a look at that. But I started Aaron Jones thinking he was going to have a mega week, and then he's out last minute. And unfortunately, I was doing bedtime, so I didn't get a chance to take him out of my lineup. You know what? Shows that fancy football is a cruel mistress. But anyway, if you fancy a flutter and you're in the UK on DFS, I can highly recommend the Fantasy Game Day app. I'll put a link in the description as well. That those guys are really nice. Just message them on Instagram or Twitter. They're really nice, and they showed me how it could be played. I've tried it a little bit on DraftKings. It's really intimidating, really intimidating, and they pay out like the top 1%. But these guys are trying to get more people involved in, you know, the sport in different ways. So yeah. Anywho, even without Aaron Jones, Jordan Love was still a viable option. That was my point. I'm just really annoyed I started Aaron Jones in that DFS competition. Moving on to running back, there's a couple of names that I would put in here. Yeah, I'm going to start doing running backs next because I think they're in an interesting position still. There's lots of questions in the Indianapolis Colts backfield, but I think Zach Moss is a big bruiser who recently had a broken arm, remember, he came in and impressed for the AFC South team. They will be hitting the run hard, I think, in the absence of both Jonathan Taylor and potentially Richardson being in concussion protocol. I think it's shown that the Indy top brass, is it Jim Irsay, have proven that they obviously don't really care about running backs and running them into the ground, especially with the contract negotiations around Jonathan Taylor. So maybe just follow what the GM does and take advantage in fancy of what will be expected volume, at least for the next couple of weeks, I would suspect. Another name that we've heard before, and we're gonna repeat it again. Sorry about that. Zach Moss is available in like, how many leagues is he available? 70% of leagues. Okay, so some people caught onto him, but don't get left behind on that one. I think he's going to be good next week as well. Someone else who is also available in 70% of leagues, and we talked about last week, was the Gus Bus, Gus Edwards. Never doubt the Gus Bus. We all knew, but you know, despite the protestation of the Ravens saying they're going to throw it for 6,000 yards, etc., they're never going to do that. Baltimore is a run-first team. It's built like that. You know, despite a new offensive coordinator who is pass-happy, they are still a run-first team. It's still a committee. Yes, Justice Hill is going to get involved, someone else. Is it Melvin Gordon's in there? I don't know who's in number three. Doesn't really matter. But I still think with the team looking to protect Lamar in the running game for the whole season, they want him for a whole season. They want to go after that title. I'd expect to see Gus break the tackles at the goal line and get lots of opportunity as he did this week. He was okay this week in a team where they weren't great, but Gus Bus did pretty good. On to wide receiver. A name I never thought I'd write down here, but it's Josh Reynolds. He is available in 95% of the of leagues. And yeah, Josh Reynolds, he's obviously got a connection with Jared Goff. I believe they're at the Rams at the same time at some point. Correct me if I'm wrong there. But he has really balled out. And I think he's been a dependable target in a high volume offense, which is going to remain high volume. With Montgomery potentially out, they've got a pass catching running back who I think is starting to get into the mix a little bit more. Throwing the ball would become more an option, and with Josh Reynolds, he just seems to get open when all the eyes are downfield on Amon Ross and Brown. I think without Jameson Williams, I would expect his volume to stay high until week 7 at least. And there's a couple other names there in wide receiver who you wouldn't expect as well. I haven't put them on my official list here, but Khalil Shakir was interesting as well, getting in the end zone. You know what? There's still plenty of options at wide receiver, but you know, for me, Josh Reynolds is the one that stood out. And finally, I'm going to go tight end. I've already talked about the fact that tight end, I think, is a bit of a tough one to sell for me. Let's put it that way. But I'm going to put it this way. I liked Mike Gesicki coming into this year. I haven't been proven right yet. I haven't been proven wrong as such. He's just been middle of the pack. Last year, I liked Hunter Henry. Maybe I'm just a year late, but Hunter Henry has had back-to-back tight end one, you know, so top 12 games, and he seems to be dependable in a team who's looking to have it to throw it more in a division where they're going to have to be catching up because they've got such high-scoring, potent offenses they're playing against, except the Jets, who are just a bit rubbish now, maybe without Aaron Rodgers. We'll see. We don't know if they would have been rubbish without Aaron Rodgers. We just didn't see enough of them. Anyway, Hunter Henry seems to be dependable. I think he could potentially be the number one target in that offense. I think there might be some Mike Gesicki weeks, there might be some Juju weeks, there might be Hunter Henry weeks, but in a position where you're really struggling, you know, he is definitely a position that I would look to fill with. Yes, I would look to fill the tight end position with him. Anyway, that's who I'd be going for. He's available in 66% of leagues. And these are all quota stats from a 12-man PPR league. So the average across the board, taken from ESPN. They've just got better stats than some of the other platforms. So there are some other names as well. Brian Robinson would be interesting. I think he's still only available in 20%. He was the RB1 this week. Crazy. Marvin Mims looks good on paper. I think he's a long shot. I think he corralled two receptions for 113 yards. He's a burner. So yeah, he might be great as a flex option. Jaden Reed for the same thing. His stats looked better than they were. I think he only had 3 catches, but I think he got into the end zone twice. Yeah, all viable options. There's plenty more to talk about. Kyron Williams, again, go after him. He's still available in 40% of leagues. Sean Tucker could be interesting. You know, there's plenty of other names. Josh Dobbs would be on the list, but he's got Dallas next week, so I'd avoid him. But you know, let's just recap who I think you should be going for. I think great options in Desmond Ridder, 97% available. Jordan Love, still 60% available. Zach Moss, 70%. Josh Reynolds, 95%. Gus Edwards, 70%. And Hunter Henry, 66%. I think, you know, they've either got skimmed upside, volume available, or squidgy opponents. Go after those guys. Hope this helps you. Let me know who you got or who you missed on. We do whiff on some things sometimes, and sometimes that works out. Sometimes it doesn't. I missed out on Puka in so many different places. I'm really annoyed that I don't have more of him after such a performance this week, and really tempted to get another shirt. Maybe not to hang up on the wall, but yeah, maybe just to have and to hold. Thank you so much for listening. As always, if you want to support the pod, you can follow us on all of the socials at Rugby with Pads. You can go to rugbywithpads.com to get a membership and you get some merch with that as well. Or you can go to store.rugbywithpads to get the merch directly. It is getting to become autumn. This is the first day I've worn a sweatshirt. And you too can get a lovely, beautiful, really comfy. So, honestly, I wear these day in, day out, not because I'm ripping the brand, but because they're comfy. You get hoodies, sweatshirts, tees, and I'm thinking about a couple more designs that are coming soon, but you can get that through all of the above and aforementioned. If you like this pod, subscribe. If you're on YouTube, give us a like, comment, all of that fun stuff. Share with your friends. You know, if I could ask each one of you to share to one person, that'd be lovely. We'd love to get the name out for a UK fancy football podcast here. Thank you so much again. I'll stop rambling, and I will see you all soon on the Virtual Gridiron.